Here we go. First official episode that I'm going to upload of this one. So, I haven't gotten around to this anytime soon, so there's a bit of a list of things to do here, so I will get on it and be somewhat quick. First thing that I wanted to talk about here was, this is by OzGamers. There's a video behind the scenes of the recording of the soundtrack for Doom Eternal. Now, this is Mick Gordon, who's gotten a bit of a following for recording both some of the Wolfenstein and the two Doom game soundtracks. And this video sort of walks through some of all the effort that went into that. One thing this article doesn't mention, and I haven't watched the video yet, to be honest, so I don't know if it mentions that either, but Boomer Shooter meme maker Kino Fabino on Twitter mentioned that this soundtrack, no, I think it was the old one, features Mongolian throat singing. So whilst you're blasting demons in hell, you're going to hear some, I don't know how it sounds like, wah, cop a bit of that up here. I also saw a separate article talking about the software used to put music into games, and they talked to Mick Gordon about that. All the songs that he makes for Doom are pretty much like an hour-long Ableton session that then gets programmed into this other software, and then that then brings up the sounds required depending on the circumstances in the game at the time, so that the music always feels consistent to the action. Interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Okay, next one here is about the sports rorts affair. That with everything that's going on at the moment, it's easy to get distracted, but don't forget about this. Sports rorts. This is the big thing that was happening before the virus hit. Let's keep it all in mind. So right here, the some of the highlighted sections I got is how Sport Australia has been ordered to respond to 40 questions its officials have taken notice following a 28 February committee hearing examining the 100 million sports grants. And they had to do that by the 6th of March. They just didn't. They didn't respond. That was it. And then from there, this is the big kicker of why this is a problem. The Prime Minister's office had requested a last-minute change for the documents to sent to Sport Australia at 8:46 a.m. on the 11th of April, the day the government went into caretaker mode. Another set of changes were made at 12:43 p.m. the same day. Big thing here, and why these times matter, is that 11th of April is the day that the election was announced. Everything run by the government was meant to go into caretaker mode, where then ministers could have no direct oversight over anything. And after that was announced at 12:43 p.m., that they sent a spreadsheet to Sport Australia with recommended changes. So don't forget about this. When this is all sorted out, let's pressure Scott Morrison to resign over his involvement in the whole sports rorts scandal. Here's a bit of a lighter one that I came across. This is talking about dank immigrant parent memes and how if you've got immigrant parents, they're going to send you some real dumb shit over WhatsApp, which is much the same sort of thing that white parents share on Facebook, but the twist here is that immigrant parents send it straight to their kids and then wonder why their kids hate them when they don't reply. And this talks about all the regular sort of things that they've got to put up with. Here's one here of a cat from, I believe, the series Tomcat that's just been superimposed on an older, grainier image. Well, one of those ones where it just talks about love and being nice and all that. All your typical shit. Coronavirus is big at the moment. So there's one here of someone that just has a Vicks bottle elastic banded to their nose and it says fighting the coronavirus. And so, of course, yeah, just any old people is going to love that, let alone immigrant parents, where it's like, huh, what a facetious take on a pandemic. Here's another one, which is just highlighting how it's just a mix of fonts and just clip art all put into a square the size of a postage stamp and then blown up to the size of a coaster. And then there's one down here. I can't read the text because it's in Spanish, but oh, I can just feel it. I know what this is about. Where I don't know what the text says, but the image is a bunch of roses wrapped in $100 bills with emojis of crowns and champagne bottles and everything on top of it. Do you know if your parents are sending you a picture of that, that you can already just feel what the text above is? Here's another one, it's an interesting one, that the DBB Berlin in the uncensored library in Minecraft, censored stories can be read. So, the big thing with this is that agency DBB Berlin and Media Monks have built this giant library in Minecraft, and all these stories that are censored by various governments and whatnot are available to read in there. Because the big thing that they're saying is that more than 145 million players play Minecraft every month. That's a big deal. And so whilst all these other websites and all these other publications may be banned, you still have to be able to access Minecraft because all the kids are on there. So they built this massive library, and they're putting all these stories inside the books in Minecraft. And I've got here the details on the actual construction of it. It took 3 months to build, stands in 1 kilometer squared of gardens, and is made from over 12.5 million blocks. 18 builders from 12 different countries designed and created the library over 250 hours. The library's main dome is nearly 300 meters wide, which would make it the second largest in the world. Okay, this is all in Minecraft, mind you. So this library doesn't actually exist. And now, I tried to get a sense of exactly how many books were in here, but it doesn't say. And that's because a lot more books are being added every day. So there's sort of no point giving a singular value because that's going to keep changing. Okay, here's another one. Here's a bit of a lighter thing that I saw. I saved this article, and then I saw this video come up, and my brother and I watched it. This is hilarious. That Shaggy 2 Dope of Insane Clown Posse has a coronavirus solution. You know what it is? Dirt snow. And just the way he says that with such conviction, that as if it's something that people actually know and talk about. This is just snow that has dirt on it. And in this video, he says that dirt snow is the answer. And then he just goes and picks some dirt snow up off the ground and eats it. Apparently, that's going to save us all from coronavirus. All right, here's a bit of a sad story. That earning minimum wage from Spotify is a lot harder than you think. That here's some numbers for you up front. Spotify has announced it has 124 million paying subscribers, and that three major music labels were making $19 million a day just from streaming services. But that's the labels. How much does it take for an actual artist to make minimum wage? This is going off $7.25 an hour in the United States, bringing the annual wage to $15,080.40 based on a 40-hour work week, and at $0.00437 per stream. So that's not even getting into a solid cent for a stream. If you move that to cents, that's still 0.437 cents. So you're not even actually clearing a tangible amount of currency for someone listening to your song once. You're looking at 3,450,892 streams just to carve out minimum wage. So yeah, that takes a lot of listens to get a little bit of money. And there's a few small differences with different streaming services because they all pay different amounts. That apparently Tidal is the best one, probably because no one uses it. But you only need 1.2 million streams on Tidal to make minimum wage. And on Apple Music, it's just 2 million streams. But the worst one of the lot is YouTube, where you would need 21.8 million streams just to earn minimum wage. So yeah, it's not looking good for people out there in music land, you know, the actual producers, not the labels, but that's where we are. Time for a revolution. Here's another interesting one, a little bit of a something that you don't have to focus on too much. There is a pair of trainers made by Puma that look like Hitler. Puma is a German company, and this is one of those things. It's like when you're looking at it straight down on a nice, crisp, perfectly shaped pair, you can kind of see it. on an old pair that someone had just taken off their feet. Not as apparent. But let me tell you, when you put a picture of Hitler right up next to these shoes, it's not just that they got the mustache, they even have the hair. Not enough to say it's uncanny, but they should have you know, looked at that a bit more. Now, just some quick things with everything that's going on with the virus. There's a couple of deals going around. Itch.io have a bunch of free games on there. If you want to play some you know, little indie pixel art sprite-y RPG kinds of things that you don't have to pay anything for, go on to Itch. There's plenty of stuff there. Audible has a bunch of free kids' books. There's like a bit of a classic section if you don't want to listen to a bunch of young adult novels, which, you know, they got literary classics. And then right here, Atlas Shrugged. Apparently that's what they want the kids to listen to. But then there's also Moby Dick, Unabridged, Frankenstein, Brave New World, Call of the Wild. So there's some decent stuff here. But then otherwise just a bunch of things you've never heard of that's very typical of a children's book section. Another place here called Pact Pub. Free access to their workshops for things like web development, PHP, data science, programming, you know, all that sort of stuff. Regular things. You'll go sign up, make an account, add a couple of courses there, and even with everything that's going on, you'll never get around to it. But we'd all like to believe we would, wouldn't we? Same with homeschool piano. I've got this shitty digital piano thing. Well, not a digital piano. That's too much of a compliment to it. It's just like a, you know, a keyboard from Target. It's got like the 68 keys. I've been dicking around on that. I had a look at this. Kind of helping with my sight reading. You know, reading all those staffs and stems and shit. But otherwise, nothing that dicking around with chords I couldn't have figured out. Here's one. Sale of sex toys saw 350% during home isolation. So this one's by B&T, and this is from a company that I'm not going to name because I put in for a job with them, and I not only did I not get it, but then I saw that after the job had closed, that they advertised it again. So apparently I'm not good enough, and this is quite obviously just a bit of marketing material from them. But this company has said that, yeah, they've seen sales rise 350% since the nation went into lockdown. That this article also talks about the sale of alcohol here in Australia. And it says here that, interestingly, sales of the drink celebration drink, champagne, fell 8%, while spirits are up 11%. And the website Tipple also delivers cigarettes, which have shot up by 23% over 2 weeks. This is a bit of an older article, so who knows what direction those have gone in since. Here's another one to help you fill in time. From SBS Movies, it's the best movies on SBS On Demand that go for over 2.5 hours. Because God knows we all need some time to kill. But pretty much anything on this list, you know, it's a good enough recommendation. It's SBS, so it's going to be a lot of foreign stuff that you probably haven't heard of before. But that's always a good chance to just, you know, sit down, check something out, and expand your horizons a little bit. There's some familiar things here, like The Last Emperor. You know, it's one of those movies that you've heard of, you know exists, but you haven't watched. Some old school stuff, like Once Upon a Time in the West. So if you want to watch another one of those Sergio Leone westerns, it's just chilling right there. Silence by Martin Scorsese, if you really want to do that to yourself. There's Paint Your Wagon, which has a very interesting name. It's got Clint Eastwood in what seems like more of a supporting role. A lot of Luc Besson on here, which I find him to be a bit problematic, but here we are. They got Joan of Arc, goes for 2 hours and 33 minutes, as do a lot of his films, because he can't seem to edit and doesn't know what's important. There's one here that I've highlighted, which is Downfall, and I think they included this, because even though this goes for 2 hours and 28 minutes, that if you've seen that meme, the whole like Hitler reacts thing, where he's in the bunker, and they tell him some news, and he, with a shaking hand, he takes off his glasses and he starts shouting. You know, they've done it over various things. That's come from this movie. So if you want to know, see where it all began, that you can get it right there. They got Sophie's Choice. That movie was a big deal. Let's see. This one sounded interesting, I think. Yeah, the Baader-Meinhof Complex, a left-wing terrorist organization that became increasingly active in the 1960s and 70s, known as the Baader-Meinhof Group, which was formed by the radicalized children of the Nazi generation who wanted to battle Western imperialism. That, you know, they may be Nazis, but I mean, you know, Western imperialism, I don't really agree with that either. And then, last one on the list, and this one is sort of funny, Das Boot. Not that the movie itself is funny, but just, if you've seen the TV series Peep Show, there's a time where Mark finally gets to have a bit of a date night with Sophie, and his idea of a nice romantic movie to watch with the woman that he wants to woo is the director's cut of Das Boot. So, you know, we're looking at more than 2.5 hours of a bunch of German subtitles set within the tight confines of a German U-boat. Could you think of anything more romantic? Got some more courses here that are free. This one's online theory courses. So, you know, not just learning how to play piano. If you want to know what the fuck scales are and why you need to know them, that it's all right there. Here's another one that's quite exciting. That classic action RPG, Nier Replicant, is coming to PC and modern consoles. So, if you've played Nier Automata and, you know, jacked off to all the 2B Rule 34 that your dick can handle, you might want to go and check out where it all began. Now, just a bit of a note, that Nier Automata is not a sequel to Nier or Nier Replicant or Gestalt or any of those others. It's more of a spin-off. The whole disease thing, the script or whatever it is, you know, the black thing that grows up onto people's arms and whatever, that's a bit of a crossover thing. It's set after the Nier games, but, you know, there's so much time in between them that they're not really directly related. So you're not going to be seeing any hectic anime booty in these games. You got the chick, I forget her name, well, she's not technically a chick, but you guys can find that out for yourselves. And she gets around in those games wearing not a whole lot. So you got someone else to look at, but there's no 2B. And another thing that's happening here is a mobile game called Nier Reincarnation. So they're really banking on Nier being like a hit series for the next generation consoles. And here's another bit of something different. This is an illustrated manuscript from Iran from 1921 that shows all these different types of demons. And it shows a demon doing probably the most evil thing they could ever do, which is licking a sleeping person's foot. Yeah. So this book is called Book of Imaginary Beings, Heterogeneous Compendium of Creatures from Ancient Folk Tale, Myth, Demonology Around the World. And it's quite interesting because it talks about Borgias and how that all these mythological creatures from different cultures all kind of coalesce together into a single large-scale mythology. That, you know, those things like the Chimera from Greek mythology, and then there was Egypt, Babylonia, Persia, and even places like China and Japan, and over time, all their demons from mythology just grew together into this one big thing. And there's a lot of interesting illustrations here. Like there's one here of a red demon guy who's got 6 heads, who is riding on a bull. We've got another 3-headed guy with horns on each head, and he's got maybe like a pale grey, bluish fur with red spots, holding the stick. We got another 7-headed guy here with some titties. A single-headed guy now. Has a bit of the minstrel look. Holding a snake, riding a horse. Yeah, a lot of interesting fellas. But in terms of what to expect in this book, there's a nice little pull quote here. So, here are some of the things that you can expect to see. A blue man with claws, 4 horns, and a projecting red tongue is no less frightening for the fact that he's wearing a candy-striped loincloth. In another image, we see a mustachioed goat man with tuber nose and polka-dot skin manically concocting a less-than-appetizing dish. One recurring and worrying theme is demons visiting sleepers in their beds. Scenes involve such pleasant activities as tooth-pulling, eye-gouging, and in the most engrossing illustrations, a bout of foot licking, performed by a reptilian feline with a shark-toothed tail. So, look, no hate on the feet guys out there, because I know you're out there, but yeah, don't do it in people's sleep, and don't do it to anyone who doesn't expect it, because that make, quite literally, going off this book, it makes you a demon. Here's a bit of a recipe that I came across, if anyone happens to have a lot of free time coming up, and you can't seem to get any more lavish ingredients to do some cooking. This is a water cake. I made it myself, and I'm not really much of a cook, and it actually turned out all right. The big hook of this is no milk, no butter, no eggs, only simple cupboard ingredients. I think it was only about six ingredients it needed. Yes, six simple pantry ingredients. It's a accidentally vegan cake, it says here. Now, there's a long intro to this, as is with all these fucking recipe websites. But pretty much all it is like, you know, cup and a half of flour, cup and a half of water, like half a cup of vegetable oil, a bit of cocoa, you know, a cup of sugar, all that sort of shit. You put it in together, mix it all up, stick that in the oven, and yeah, it was actually pretty good. Like, for something that you can make without anything fancy, that if you need something to do over the next couple of days, try this cake out. Here's another one here, just that open library, bunch of free-to-access ebooks just chilling on here, in case you'd want to do some reading for whatever reason. Another one, watch online 75 short films from 2020 South by Southwest Festival. So this is just a shit ton of short films. Let's see if there's a more direct... Yeah, head over here and have your own private South by Southwest Film Festival. So it's just right there that you can just get on this, watch a bunch of short films for free, help you fill in some time. And here's something slightly different from NPR. Don't nag your husband during lockdown, Malaysia's government advises women. And let me just be upfront that, yeah, this is not good. This is bad. Bad message from the government there. They've got this this image. Looks like it may have been pulled from Instagram or somewhere else. But it's got a bunch of text that I can't read because I can't read. Is it Malaise? Is that the text? Is that the language there? But it's got a woman in very baggy, comfortable clothes with a big red cross over it. So women don't dress comfortably. And then another one who's having a makeup done. And then a very business-looking woman at a desk using a laptop. As it says here, hashtag women prevent COVID-19. It advised the nation's women to help the country's partial lockdown by not nagging their husbands. The ministry also advised women to refrain from being sarcastic if they asked for help with household chores, and it urged women working from home to dress up and wear makeup. And now, look, the rest of the article is kind of what you can expect. They have a spokeswoman from the All Women's Action Society saying how bad and condescending this is, a couple of reaction tweets, and, yeah, talking about it a bit more. I think they may have eventually pulled it because of the response. What could you expect, really, both in terms of from the Malaysian government and the response thereafter? Here's just another quick one, that there's a free Google Cloud training for 30 days at Google. So again, if you would like to register for another course that you're never going to use, it's right here. Here's a bit of bad news, that up in New South Wales, man fined for eating a kebab on a public bench under social distancing laws. And it says here that more than 50 people have been fined across the country in accordance with new social distancing laws. Because, what do you know, you give police more power and they just go out and abuse it. And these laws were meant to be created to slow the spread of coronavirus, but individuals may now be fined up to, says here, $1,000 for ignoring social distancing requirements. I know it's $1,600 here in Victoria, and who knows where it is everywhere else. But I know that the New South Wales police have been quite fine happy, because, oh man, you just give them that little bit of power, and they just run wild with it. And look, here's part of the problem. As this article says, that a guy just chilling on a public bench eating a kebab gets fined. That, what it says here, there's no mention of there being anyone else around him, that he's just out in public, that I know you're not meant to be out in public full stop, but really, this just seems a bit excessive. Additionally, authorities have been criticized for community inconsistencies. The laws themselves remain as nebulous idea to both police agencies and public domain, rather than being explicitly reinforced through various modes of communication. This is the problem we've been having with this whole pandemic from day one, that nobody knows what to do. You try to explain to me what social distancing means, what self-isolation means, what lockdown means. We haven't been given any clear definitions for anything. That when people are out there flagrantly abusing these laws, fair enough, but when the police just go to a park and start fining couples for not adhering to social distancing laws when they're out together, it's just excessive. Because, yeah, the Wednesday when this happened, a total of 13 people were fined in Newcastle, including a 21-year-old man, who received a $1,000 fine for eating kebab on a public bench. He was apparently warned by police on two separate occasions earlier that day. All right, maybe he was pushing it a bit. That if he was just fined up front, that's excessive. But with everything that's going on, that you should probably just listen to police just so this doesn't happen. You just don't want to get fined. Here's something that we shouldn't be talking about, but, you know, that's the world we live in. Pauline Hanson is protesting social distancing laws by lying in a paddock. That apparently, that this is a Pauline Hanson, Senator for Queensland, is protesting Victoria's social distancing laws by going out and lying on the paddock in her private property to see if anyone comes to arrest her. So, I mean, all you can really say is, go you. You do what you've gotta, and whatever. Because, honestly, what are we gonna do with her? That you can't try to argue with her, because then you're just giving her the attention that she wants. You just gotta tell her, you do you. Like, good one, Pauline. And then just humor her enough that she stops trying and leaves everybody alone. Here's a bit of news that's not as good as we would wish it was. Boris Johnson is hospitalized with coronavirus. That it doesn't seem like anything serious. They're saying that it's a precautionary step and that he's more serious than people in his cabinet would like to admit. But The Guardian reported that the Prime Minister has been more seriously ill, or his officials were prepared to admit, and was having difficulty breathing. Now, on a mild bit of an upside, his fiancée, who was also pregnant, also tested for Corona-19, but has improved. That, you know, he may be a terrible man who deserves everything that comes to him, but when it comes to partners and unborn children, that maybe we should leave them alone. So, there was one more thing that I was going to put in here. Ah, here's a little bit of something different. Absolutely insane. Brothel fined for flouting Stage 3 rules. Now, I haven't got this one saved in pocket, so this one's going to be a little bit loose on saving shit. But, I understand we're looking at a report from the Portsea alleged breach of isolation. Portsea, that's around here, isn't it? But, yeah, it says here that a brothel isn't adhering to the guidelines, which, I mean, it's a little bit hard for a brothel to do, I imagine. But that's where we're at. Thank you, phone. I hope you didn't hear that there on the pod. Police carried out 1,084 spot checks and people have been instructed to self-isolate on Wednesday. About 270 police officers, including two have been diagnosed with the virus, are currently in self-isolation. So, I guess a bit of praxis for the week is, if you see a police officer, cough on them. There's another thing I was looking for here. Where is it? There it is. YouTube will remove videos falsely linking COVID-19 to 5G. So, for once, YouTube is actually doing something. But this is another one I'll have to have a quick look through, because it's YouTube. You can imagine that this is going to be the most selective and milquetoast, impotent effort to remove this sort of content, because if it comes up on either larger channels or channels that make themselves a lot of money, probably because it's done by, made for retired boomers that don't trust anything and don't know what is and isn't an ad, that it makes them too much money. So whilst YouTube says that, yes, they are controlling the content on their platform relating to coronavirus and 5G, don't expect any actual effort to be put into it. Well, that's pretty much it for this episode of What's in Your Pocket. I'll upload this to the website and see how all that side of things go. If you do actually listen to this, thanks for sticking around. I'll have to actually put in show notes and whatever else. But yeah, I'll catch you in the next one.